When has reading or hearing the Bible ever grabbed a hold of you? Is it an unfathomable mystery to you? Is it boring or seemingly irrelevant to your life? Oh, let's be honest. Have you never really taken it up? Never actually really listened to it? How many grew up in church-going families who have, quote, wised up? They've heard the Bible is shot through with contradictions, that it's not scientifically or historically accurate. It is not much use to them. But out of respect for those who take it seriously, they keep these thoughts to themselves, perhaps. Well, Jesus came to Nazareth, his hometown, the place where he was raised. The people there knew his family. They knew his mother Mary. They knew his brothers, James and Joseph and Simon and Judas. Yes, Jesus had a brother named Judas. They knew his sisters too. We don't know how many sisters Jesus had. When Jesus was accorded the honor of reading the scripture in the synagogue there in Nazareth, all eyes were fastened on him. Never once in all of his teaching did Jesus say, "I don't know." Not once. Now, he did say that in his human nature, he did not know when the end would be. But he knew that he knew that. He never once said, "I don't know." He spoke with absolute authority that always stunned his listeners. In truth, Jesus was the smartest man who ever lived. He knew the secrets of the universe. The Apostle Paul, inspired by the Spirit, would say of Jesus, "In him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." In him. The words he chose to read that day came from the prophet Isaiah. And after reading these words, he would say something absolutely shocking. He would say, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Jesus was telling them that the Old Testament intimately was linked to him, was pointing to him, was about him. The words of the prophet Isaiah were all about him and what he would do. And Jesus would fill them with huge meaning, meant for the people of that day and for us. To preach good news to the poor, Jesus would do this. Maybe we're poorer than we think. Someone is silently saying, "You could say that again." One poor guy was so heavily in debt, he said that he was known as the Leaning Tower of Visa. But poor had a much wider meaning when Jesus spoke of it. It means those who know that they are spiritually poor. Actually, the word used here for poor means desperately poor, poorer than poor. People who know they're spiritually poor, who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness. Freedom for prisoners. Literally, yes. Prisoners, too, though, of addiction, of guilt, of regret, of bitterness, of sorrow. Freedom for all of them. Recovery of sight for the blind. Again, literally, yes, but even more so, those who are blind to the Word of God and to the true nature of Jesus Christ. Release for the oppressed. The most oppressive thing of living in this world is the oppression of sin and what it does to people. It's a slavery imposed on so many. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This was an announcement of hope. Jesus was the Messiah, is the Messiah. He is the Savior. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He was sent from the Father to this world to proclaim hope, peace, forgiveness, salvation to the ends of the earth. So what was the reaction to Jesus' words? At first, they were amazed at his gracious words, drawn in by them. But they had heard of his miracles in Capernaum and all the things that were said of him, and they wanted more of him. They wanted him to do the things he'd done there, here in his hometown. And shouldn't he? Sensing the spirit of his hometown and in a sense testing them, he spoke about Elijah and Elisha, who were both directed to act miraculously with Gentiles, but not with the Jews. The people hearing this didn't really know Jesus. They really didn't know that he was the Messiah. And they became furious and insulted by the fact that he wasn't going to do anything in their town. They were upset with him because he had put, in a sense, Gentiles over them, the chosen people. It tells us another time that Jesus' own immediate family thought that Jesus was out of his mind. And they wanted to take charge of him. So is it hard to imagine that even here, when he made this trip to Nazareth, his hometown, that even his family was suspect of him. Even his family doubted him. The truth is, that we can also play at church. We can play at being Christians. When we hear the Word of God authoritatively preached and taught, we too can become offended and want to, in a sense, throw Jesus over a cliff. We don't want people telling us we're sinning. We really don't. We like to call it being judgmental. And in our climate, in our day and time, that's the worst thing you can be, to be judgmental. What? You mean me? Cheating on your taxes, sleeping with someone you're not married to, telling lies about another person, losing all Christ-likeness on the highway, watching pornography, getting high. You're pointing the finger at me? You probably do the same thing. You're being very judgmental. We don't like to hear this. Whatever in that list caught your attention, you don't probably like it. In Nazareth, they rejected Jesus because he offended them. He didn't make them feel special. He didn't praise them. Right here in Knoxville, Tennessee, we can do the same thing. I'm good compared to other people. There are a lot of other people that do a lot of other things. Okay, I have this one area. What is that compared to what those people over there do? What we really need to see is our sin. What we really need to do is repent. What we really need to receive is his forgiveness. Jesus, who died on a cross, who rose again for our justification. So, what is the touchstone our scripture presents to us today? The whole idea about touchstones is significant moments in our life when something happens that we mark, that is something important. The touchstone here is that moment in your life when you see the Word of God for what it is, a fantastic treasure, a food that you really need to live. Often this touchstone of life only comes when you have experienced some difficult times, if not tumultuous times in your life. The Russian Solzhenitsyn in the Gulag, Chuck Colson in prison, the abused child, the betrayed, the divorced, the bankrupt, the grieving, the ill, physically or mentally, people weighed down by sin and guilt and anxiety and fear. I include myself in that group. Suddenly the Word is speaking to us. We see clearly the need for a Savior. The Word is sustenance that we can feel, energizing us and equipping us to live. Yes, it took something like I mentioned for me to come to see that this Word of God is what I really, really, really need. You know, in the late 1870s, miners found silver in the Dragoon Mountains of Arizona. And thus a mining town of Tombstone was founded. It was a wild place. Rightfully named Tombstone because you could find your own tombstone there, ultimately. I mean, they had saloons and gambling halls and gunplay. But one newcomer to Tombstone would write these encouraging words. Still there is hope, for I know for a fact two Bibles exist in this town. Hope comes from the Bible. Hope and encouragement that you can overcome the devil, the world, and your own temptations. But here is a warning. You better read or listen or study your Bible now while you have one. This might sound ridiculous to you, but look what it says in the book of Amos, and that applied to their day, but I think applies to our day too. It comes from Amos chapter 8, verse 11. The days are coming, declares the sovereign Lord, when I will send a famine through the land. Not a famine for food or thirst for water, but a famine for hearing the words of the Lord. And it goes on to say, you'll be running here and there because you hear they have the Word of God, because it's not found anywhere else. The most successful persecution of the Christian church in the times of Roman persecution was when they focused on burning the Bibles and neutralizing pastors and leaders who spoke the Word of God or had it memorized. You say, well, that couldn't happen again. And I say, it most definitely could happen again. Now is the day to soak in and know the Word of God. And when you read and listen to the Word of God, start expecting an epiphany. That is the aha experience. This is when the Word of God start making sense to you. When you begin to see the links to your own life, this is when it gets exciting and it starts changing you. I know about this intimately because this is what happened to me. There was a time when the Bible was a dry book for me and not one that I really understood. Oh, I had a lot of knowledge about it because of my upbringing. But it was when reading it, particularly in college, that suddenly I had that, it was speaking to me. God was speaking to me. Sometimes in the most unlikely places. There's some passages in the Old Testament that say, what in the world does it have to do with me? And then the Spirit opens your mind and you hear it speaking right to you. Now, I personally believe you have to want it. Oh, it can surprise you sometimes, but I think if you want to have that aha experience, if you say before reading it or studying or hearing it, and maybe I should suggest that when you come to church, you say, Lord, there's going to be something in that sermon for me. Let me hear it clearly. Let me hear what you have in mind for me to hear. I know it's hard to follow a whole sermon. After all, there's football games on later today. You're thinking about what you're going to eat. Maybe you have any intestinal issues. Satan wants you not to hear the Word of God, ever, ever. But God promises that the Word will be open to you if you expect it. A troubled youth came to his pastor for counsel. He had prayed about something, an issue in his life, and it just wasn't getting resolved. And so he actually clenched his fist and he slammed it on the pastor's desk and he said, why won't the Lord hear my problem and direct me and answer me? In response, the pastor said this. The youth said, what did you say? I couldn't hear you. And the pastor responded this way. It's kind of ridiculous. Hushed, indistinguishable words. Again, the youth said, Pastor, I couldn't hear you. So he got up very close to the pastor. What did you say? And then the pastor said, God sometimes whispers, so we will have to move closer if we want to hear what he says. You know, that's so true. How do you move closer to God? Listen to him speak to you. Dig for the gold, and you'll find it, and how exciting it is to have God speak to you. There's one last thing to be said, and Jesus said it. There was a time in his ministry that his mother and brothers, again, came after Jesus. They thought that he was getting in trouble. Right? And so others said to Jesus, your mother and brothers are here. And this is what Jesus said. Jesus said, who are my mother and my brothers? Those who hear the word of God and put it into practice. You know, the proverbial seminary professor who knows everything about the word of God, knows it in Hebrew and Greek, reads it in Hebrew and Greek every day, knows all those things, but doesn't put it into practice. is short with people, unloving, unkind. And we don't have to go to seminary professors, but they make a convenient target. You know. But how about you and me? You know, the Bible was never meant to be just a transfer of information. It was meant to change your life. It meant to change your life. So when you hear it or read it, you put it into practice. This message will mean nothing to you tomorrow unless you do what? Put it into practice. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? So I have a threefold challenge for you this morning. First of all, cherish your Bible. And maybe it's time to get a new one. Maybe not. I don't know. Maybe it's time to get a new one. Get a good one. Get one you're comfortable with. Not meant to be a doorstop, by the way. You know. Read it and study it. Be disciplined about it. Number two, expect an epiphany. Expect the Lord to speak to you, because He will. You just have to trust me on this. A lot of you know this already. He will speak to you. And third, decide to put what you read, what you hear, into practice. This can be one of the great touchstones of your life. May you all have it. In Jesus' name and to His glory. Amen? Amen. Amen.